You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Sam, listeners, Light Years Podcast, do you ever feel like you're always on? What do you do when you need a moment to chill? How do you like to hit the reset button to get ready for what's next? There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. Wow, that's amazing. That way you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open up a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment and made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate. Special guest, Light Years Podcast. Look, it's been, we do 18 podcasts a week. I was tired of Sam. Sam was tired of me. We got to get someone that's actually famous. You know, it's actually cool that people actually like. Philo, we appreciate you jumping on, man.
Man, thank you guys for having me, man.
I know you guys are in, at least with Sheed, you guys are in a fantasy basketball league together. So I didn't even know if you were from the Bay Area or not. I just know the music.
Wow. And
I was like,
wow.
Oh.
Got you. Wow. Jeez. That's how you starting it off. Got you.
I never know who's a Warriors fan. That's the thing. I never know. You never know.
And that's insane. Wow. What a way to kick it off.
By the way, Kelly says, what's up?
No. He told me.
I'm messing with you.
Y'all locked in. Yeah.
You're down in LA these days, right? So how much do you have? How often are you getting into fights with people who are disrespecting Steph Curry?
All the time, bro. I was just at this restaurant. There was like this outdoor eatery spot, and I had my Giants jacket on, and somebody like this, some cat with a Dodger hat was like, "It's a nice jacket." I was like, "Yeah, it is a nice jacket. Thanks." So people could tell.
You're the only guy holding it down there for us then, because
man, dude, I'm on the front lines, man. I'm Jon Snow. I'm Jon Snow. I'm at the wall.
Just one sword and getting it out of there, man. So tell me, what was your first Warriors game? Let's start there. Let's start with like the beginning of your fandom as a kid. What was your first memory as a Warriors fan?
I mean, going to like the fucking $20 games, the nasty Adonno Foyle getting bopped on all the time, that type of nasty shit. And then another, probably like a super memorable one is my ex-girlfriend brought me to go see Kobe. So it might've been like 2000, maybe 11 or 2012. But that was like, and then I seen LeBron when he was with the Heat, which was like insane.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, obviously going to like all those like super like early when the tickets were like $20, you could just go sit with like all the like the YMCA and the community. You know what I'm saying? Doing all that.
I remember back then you could sneak down to the lower level. I remember that. That was
bro, no, bro,
yeah, right,
bro. disgusting. It was nasty. Nasty.
You could do whatever you wanted back then.
Do you remember your moment when it changed? Because for me, I remember specifically, like, it was in 2015, you know, when the Warriors got, like, really good, when they were competing for a title. And I don't want to say the vibe in the building changed, but all of a sudden, a little harder to sneak down. It was a little more of a thing. It was like, oh, wow, like, this is serious now. We're no longer in the, like, buy a ticket in the club 200s and, you know, I'll be down.
And you can sneak down. Yeah, for sure. I mean, shit, like, I got partners that work up there. So, like, sometimes motherfuckers would just be like, hey, bro, I'm over here working at this door. Just, you could just slide through over here. And I was like, oh, for sure. Yep, we in there.
Now you can't do last time I was at Chase, first time I was there, actually, the only thing you could do is pretty much drink all the way at the top. They've got like one beer stand up there. I don't know if you've been to the new Chase Center, but that one's, I call it an airport.
I actually went to the Chase Center. I didn't go for a game. I went to go see Joe Coy.
Okay.
At the Chase Center. And I was like, oh my God, this shit is insane. It's crazy up there, like the lower level, like, little bar area, and like where all the food and shit is at is incredible. They got everything in there. Like, I seen they got the Bake Sale Betty shit in there, and like it's insane. It's damn like you like some Jets and shit.
how do we get you to play there? How do we get you to perform? Yeah, there, bro.
Man, we gotta get some more hits, man. We're working on that.
Post COVID. Yeah, we still got
We get PLO up there. Also, maybe the Warriors can be good when they let fans back in there again. Like, people always ask me, like, oh, Chase is, you know, it's not Oracle, and I'm like, well, yeah, but we saw playoff games at Oracle. We saw big games at Oracle. They opened Chase Center, and Steph gets hurt the fourth game of the season, and then, like, you know, the pandemic.
It's bad luck.
Yeah, exactly. We haven't even seen a real game. Like, I want to see what Chase looks like when they play a playoff game, or like it's some, you know, give me like Steph versus Dame in a game that matters or something. Let's see what the crowd, like, do we get like that serious Oracle response there? Or is it going to be kind of dead silent?
Man, I that's going to be interesting. Cause I feel like the fan that's going to Chase is different. The other matched up to a fan that's going to Oracle.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, I would think that they're trying to like keep it as not turfy as possible at Chase. I know Oracle has like a little turf value. You know what I'm saying? It has a little bit of grit to it. So I feel like Chase is maybe like, you know, the Chase Center, it's probably not going to be as like gritty as the Oracle for sure.
They had like the end of Oracle the last few years. I felt bad because, you know, there was a lot of like, oh, the crowd isn't the same anymore, even in the last few years of Oracle. And I felt bad. It's because, like, who the hell do you expect the same people to afford $250 tickets for uppers? You know what I mean? Like, even if you've got the money, a lot of these guys, like a lot of the people that get these tickets for lowers, they get them for free. Like, companies pay for them. Yeah. And I always felt bad because it's like, you can't get the same people. Like, it's just, like, the team's too good. Like, there's really
nothing. Yeah, the team. Yeah,
not too good.
Have you been to some Laker games at Staples?
I actually went to a few Clippers games.
Okay,
but the Clippers games, they're dead though. They're like
everyone's even, an opposing like, even fan, the, like, right?
Yeah. It's like I feel like it's damn near dead, bro. Like I watched the Lakers. The Clippers Warriors. And you know, there was like, I mean, I was with my homies, we were like four of us deep, and there was like another dude behind us from the bay. So we were in there just like acting crazy, and everyone's kind of looking at us like we have shit on our face.
Nice.
I think that even the crowd here is like a little, you know, maybe because it was a Clipper game, there's not like any like real, like true Clippers fans.
Right. Yeah. So you'd put that below Oracle for sure. Easy, right?
Oh, 1,000, bro. No, 1,000%. That is, it's nasty up there. It's not good. It's like the fans, like people aren't even hyped.
Clippers games. I've never been. I can't say I've been. I mean, Lakers game I've been, but the Lakers game, Lakers games, so it feels like, it feels like you're going to a party, though. I haven't been many times. Like, I didn't live in LA or anything, but I've been once or twice, and it does feel like it's kind of a party down there. Like an elegant, it's not like a party, like
it's
a rager.
A scene.
It's yeah,
a scene.
Yeah. It's more like a, yeah, it's like
it's a scene.
Like,
it's
not like a rager, right? It's not like you're going in. I don't know. It's different. I mean, that's just LA.
People aren't shotgunning beers.
Nah, no way. No way. They look like they're at a club, yeah. Like outside a club almost.
Yeah, it is a scene. I feel like the Lakers game is more of a scene than it is like, oh, we want to see this team win.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's
move.
That's
LA, man. That's LA. Man.
That is LA. That is LA. At
LeBron perfect out there. Got a bunch of fake people. Got a bunch of fake dudes. It's just, I don't know, man.
We're just everyone's just there for the for the gram, right? Yeah. Just trying to get their photo that they're at the Laker game.
They're trying to get their photo ops.
Yeah. All right, Pilo, we got to ask you this. So, who is on your Warriors Mount Rushmore? Who are your four favorite Warrior players all time?
I mean, I think obviously the three is Klay, Steph, and Draymond. I mean, Captain Jack.
Ooh, Captain Jack. Okay.
Captain Jack.
You and Andy might have to feud over that one. Andy's the noted Captain Jack hater on the podcast.
What?
Are
you a Captain Jack hater?
Captain Jack. He had the personality. He did. He had all of that. He had the passion. I just didn't really like the way he played, but that's a different story. But he was your fourth fit, but that's your guy though. Stack Jack.
Captain. Baron Davis at the time was like, he was like one of my like favorite players, like regardless. And then like when he came to the Warriors, I was like, oh, it's fired up. Like it's lit. But damn, would I put Baron Davis over his Captain Jack? Damn.
Not a Bobby Sura guy.
No, I didn't fool Bobby Sura. Bobby Sura was cat. I didn't fool with like the little blonde little tips. I didn't fool with that. I was like, bro, this dude's a cat.
Big in sync, man. Can we talk about that We Believe team though? What were you doing back then? I remember because it was all we got. It was all we had.
Insane, bro. Like I've just got Alba pulling up. Snoop Dogg jumping ship and joining the Warriors. He was up there, bro. That We Believe year, like I remember the second round playoffs when we played the Jazz. There was like they tricked off like three of those games. They like tricked them off. I was sick, but they were like they damn near really almost swept the Jazz that series.
Yep.
But they just like tricked off like three games. And then there was that one game where Derek Fisher like just went off. No, and that's actually what made me hate Derek Fisher. Like that cemented my hate for Derek Fisher.
He was one of the most hated guys. Like D Fish was up there. Like Dunleavy was up there. Just hated guys.
That's my Mount Rushmore of least favorite Warrior players.
Right?
Yeah, we might as well run through that one. Yeah, you got Dunleavy. You got you got Derek Fisher. I might throw
Aaron Dampier, bro.
Yes.
We gave Dampier so much fucking money, and he didn't do anything.
He played out. He dominated his contract year, got paid, and then just chilled. I mean, Biedrins kind of did the same thing.
That's what we gave Biedrins a bag too.
Yeah.
Damn, because he was pretty much like. Him and Monte were the only ones left that were from that team, from the We Believe Days. They were like, all right, we'll fucking just pay the injuries.
I feel like you're a Monte guy.
I fuck with Monte. I fuck with Monte. Like, at the time, like, when it was time to, like, they had to, like, there was a fork in the road, I wasn't mad when they let Monte go.
You weren't, so you were one of the few fans. So you were a fan of the Bogut. It was the Bogut. It was an injured Bogut, too. So you weren't mad about that.
Yeah, because most people were. I mean, you remember that. They made that trade, and then Oracle booed Lake up off the floor because they were so mad that, you know, they traded Monte.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Monte was like, I mean, like, I fucked with Monte. He was obviously, like, also a fan favorite. Like, and, like, yeah, he was, like, and he was, like I was saying, like, he was one of the people from that, like, We Believe team. You know what I'm saying? He was a rookie that year, right?
Second year, I think, yeah.
Okay.
He was only 20, yeah, like, you're right.
Yeah, like he was hella young, but shit, he was hooping. But I mean, I feel like I was like, when we drafted Steph, I was really happy. So I was like,
you saw from the beginning because a lot of people, it took a few years for them to realize how special that guy was. Remember, because like it was always like, you know, Monte was a more established guy, and like Steph's kind of,
yeah, and then Steph was, he was a little frail at that time.
Exactly. Yeah.
He had the glass ankles. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I just like, even from that, like Steph's like March Madness run, I was like, okay, Cuz is about to be a demon. Like, bro's like, he's the one. And shit, looking back, I mean, shit, they obviously made the right decision.
Yeah, you can't really question it now.
You can't question. There's no reason.
No. Now let's talk about the current team. So where are you at with this? They're 19 and 18. Second half starts on Thursday. So, you know, we're still in the All-Star break now. How are you feeling about this squad going forward?
I feel some takes coming. Oh, God. Deep sigh.
Kerr's been kind of, he's been kind of iffy with the whole rotations and shit. I feel like we need some more scoring from the bench. Like, I mean, like,
Brad Wanamaker not getting it done for you?
Oh my fucking God. I scream at the TV, bro. Every time he's in the game, I scream.
And you watch every game. I see you tweeting every game. You watch.
I watch every game, bro.
Like, it hurts more.
Shit that, like, yeah, that's the, it does. And it's, I mean, like, even in the pandemic, that's like the only shit I'm looking forward to, like, every day, other than like, okay, I'm about to make some music.
Make
and
some
then
music, yeah.
I'm like, all right. Other than that, I'm like, what time's the Warrior game? You know what I'm saying? Or when the Warriors playing. But I think James Wiseman, he's still like learning even how to play in the NBA. It's like, I feel like there's like little nuances that he's like not, well, I think he will learn, but I think it's a little hard for him just because he's getting a little pushed around a little bit. You can see it. He's not like, he's the biggest guy on the floor, but he's just like getting out rebounded. Like, people are, you know what I'm saying? He's fucking 7 foot, but he's just getting out rebounded. He's not putting in the early work as far as rebounding. But I know that's something that, you know, he's still adjusting, and maybe it's Kurt not putting him in the position to, you know.
You think you like him? Do you like him moving forward? Like, there's some people that, you know, he's got potential,
I think he has promise. I'm not giving up on him. But I feel like, you know, I mean, I wouldn't say I'd rather have LaMelo, because I wouldn't say that.
That's a controversial take. That anytime anyone says it, you set the timeline on fire.
I like it.
But the thing is, like, I've been wanting, like, prior to them to drafting Wiseman, I was like, bro, I want him to get Melo.
I mean, he's good. Like, there's no way around it. I feel,
by the way,
like,
one of the few fans though beforehand that actually wanted LaMelo. You'd be one of the few.
Yeah, I feel like the big thing when you watch the Warriors, like, it's so obvious they need someone else who can create their own shot. Like, it's just Steph. Steph, you know, it's like, if the offense doesn't work, it's like, all right, Steph, pull out some magic out of your ass, basically, is what it comes down to.
Exactly. And, like, shit, like, LaMelo couldn't do that? You don't think, like...
Yeah, I mean, it makes total sense. He can make plays for others. He obviously could score the ball on his own. No, I'm with you on that one. We'll see how that plays out long term. I think Wiseman will be good too, though.
But 1,000%, 1,000%. Do you think Wiseman is as skilled as like an Embiid or a Giannis?
What?
Like, do you think he has like the potential for that like skill to develop.
I think that's a great one. That's a great one to think about. Cause I think Embiid came in pretty skilled. I think he came in pretty ready.
Like,
yeah.
Embiid's Giannis, also,
I don't know.
Embiid's also just physical. Like, I don't know that I see Wiseman ever being like the bully down low that like Embiid is. Like, that's just not his style.
He was that bully from the jump. Embiid was. Yeah. But like Giannis wasn't. Like, at least from a stature,
he still isn't really.
Yeah. Like, he's Giannis. So Giannis might be the better comp there. Not like he's going to become Giannis, but like in terms of like progressing and being that player, like Giannis might be the better guy for Wiseman, just to be like, hey, here's how you learn to use your strength and athleticism. Because Giannis was not very good freshman year. Like, Embiid coming in, like if he had stayed healthy, like that guy was a monster day one, like AD. Like AD, he was like those two guys are.
Yeah, like, but yeah, like skilled like that though. Like, yeah. Like, do you see Wiseman like that? No, I don't see that.
I think he's more conventional, big man.
You know,
like you're thinking like he'd be more like a Gobert, maybe Clint Capella type of guy.
Yeah, I think he's like in that realm more than like, and maybe he's just like the more skilled versions of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because obviously he could shoot better. Like, he could obviously shoot better than them. But I feel like he's just a more skilled version of that type of big man. I don't think he's like a Giannis Embiid skill.
You see, like once a game though, he pulls off like that spin move, and you're like, ooh, that looks like Giannis, something like that. But it's just always once a game. So
yeah. There's glimpses, there's flashes. Yeah. So I mean. If you could maximize those flashes of it, you know what I'm saying?
What's Steve knows how to do that? What do you think? What do you think about Steve Kerr this? Yeah, what do you think about Steve Kerr this season? Talk about that.
There's some questionable shit. I mean, like against, like there was one time I was watching the last Laker game. And obviously, like, they came out when they were just, like, on fire. Like, you know what I'm saying? And obviously, at that time, we needed defense. And this motherfucker subs Michael Mulder in. He was the first sub off the bench. And he just kept on getting blown by. I'm just like, bro, that was your first. Like, we were just getting blown out. And just everybody was hitting shots. And your first thing was to sub in Michael Mulder, who doesn't play any defense. He gets blown by every play.
You would think Michael Mulder, who's got like a 6'7" wingspan, by the way, who's like a pretty long guy, just horrific defensive awareness.
He is disgusting. and he hits some shots, but he doesn't hit the ones that you need him to hit.
Yeah,
he's
doesn't it feel that way, Sam? Yeah,
he's hitting him in the mid. He's hitting him in the middle of the second quarter. He's good for a three with 8 minutes on the clock.
What does he shoot? He's shooting like 40% from three, right? But it doesn't feel that way.
It doesn't feel that way. He doesn't hit the ones that you needed him to hit, like those like momentum swinging ones.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'm with you on that. It's like I like him as a player. I want him to keep playing him because they don't have anyone who can shoot. But like at the same time, he just want a little more there.
Yeah, like if you're in there, to shoot. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, knock it down. Like,
he also always tries to dribble and like do all this stuff, get bro, to the hole, just shoot it or pass
it. And just yank it. Either shoot it or pass it, bro. Yank. Like, that's what you're in there for, bro. Like, you're not in there. Like, bro, you're catching the reverse, bro. You're catching the Draymond reverse. Like, you're catching the Draymond looking opposite. Catch it and knock it down, bro.
Like, wait. Speaking of Draymond, what you got for Draymond? What you got for Mr. Draymond, 4 points Draymond, per game?
Bro, Draymond can do no wrong in my eyes, bro. I'm a Draymond stan.
Why is that?
I think he could obviously do more scoring. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's gonna like smoke layups and shit, I'd rather him pass and get an assist.
See, you're riding with the core till they retire. You're like, that's the squad. I don't care. I'm not trying to trade any of them. Steph, Clay, Draymond, they're our guys.
I think so.
I'm with you there. So my question for you, I think my question for real fan. Yeah.
Like
so
me,
so
my Sam, like me, Sam. Sam wants to trade Clay. Sam wants to trade Clay. So Kim, see me. Me and people on the right side.
I'm trading everyone after a missed shot.
Some mornings, Sam, you wake up, you're feeling ready to pull the covers over your head, go back to sleep. I mean, it's pretty standard. That's me every morning. No judgment, of course, but let's make having the most comfortable sheets the reason why. Don't love your sheets? Brooklinen has you covered. So Brooklinen was started by Rich and Vicky, who also tried to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost an arm and a leg. And when they couldn't, they founded Brooklinen as the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. So they work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury-level markups. Brooklinen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes. Brooklinen has over 50,000, wow, five-star reviews and counting. They are so confident you will love their products, they even offer a 365-day money-back guaranteed. And Brooklinen is so much more than sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear, and more. Go to brooklinen.com. Use promo code LIGHTYEARS to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, plus free shipping. That's Brooklinen, BROOKLINEN.com. And enter promo code LIGHTYEARS to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, free shipping, of course. Brooklinen.com. Use promo code, one more time, LIGHTYEARS at checkout.
Okay, so you see the team right now. Who, what do you want? Not anyone specific. What do you want them to add, like, before next year? Like, obviously, they're going to get Clay back. Hopefully, he's healthy. That makes him better. But, like, you know, you got Steph, you got Clay, you got Draymond. James Wiseman's a year older. Probably have Wiggins. Like, what do you want to see added to this team so they compete with, like, the Lakers and the Nets and, like, these teams who are probably going to be in the finals?
We need some more like dogs. Like, we need some tough guys. Like, who is like the Matt Barnes of like this like state of the league?
Yeah.
Cause I feel like there's not many like guys like that. I mean, like Hedy, like who are like the top like five IQ players you think? Like, obviously you think Draymond.
You talking about the Warriors or just in the league?
No, just in the league.
LeBron, Chris Paul, like obviously, yeah, Draymond. Who are we forgetting, Andy?
I mean, Chris Paul. Probably Steph. You could probably throw Steph up there. One of the smarter guys picking his Eastern Conference team. Who we got? Milwaukee? No. Philly?
Maybe Harden.
Anybody Harden's, on the Clippers? No, hey, come on.
Harden's definitely good at manipulating people. Yeah, he knows how to get away with shit. I'll give him that.
Nikola Jokic, probably one of the smartest guys in the league, I would say. And we're showing now.
Yeah. So you want to add some toughness to the core. You want to add another guy, yeah, like Draymond, like an old school guy, like Matt Barnes or Steven Jackson or someone.
Yeah, like because I feel like I feel like that's why the Lakers are the team they are. Like, they got a lot of like veteran guys, and I feel like even the league in its own, it's just like really young cats. It's all like 6'8" through 6'10" cats that are just hella long and athletic, but they don't know the game of basketball. And I think that like the Lakers are just playing basketball. They're doing little back cuts. They're, you know what I'm saying, little passes over the head, backdoor passes, bounce passes. They're doing all those things, and they're making the game fairly easy for themselves, because they're not like talent wise. I mean, like, obviously they have LeBron and AD, but like the rest of the guys are kind of the guys that have been in the league, Wes Matthews, you know,
KCP,
yeah. KCP, Marcus, like the guys Saul, who guys, yeah, guys who've been in the league. And I feel like that's gonna, you know what I'm saying, that translates more than young cats that are just like wide eyed in it, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, you got a lot of Warriors guys that are scared to play basketball right now. A lot of these role guys.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you guys. They need to just add some veterans, because, like, I mean, Wiseman's going to be 20 next year. He's still young. You want to give him
still a baby.
Yeah, you want someone around him who kind of makes him feel better, helps him out a little bit, like put less pressure on him. I feel like that's probably a big part of the problem with the team this year. Beyond the fact that Clay's injured, it's like, you know, it's like the core guys and just like a bunch of kids, really, right?
For real. A lot of that. I think, but you like Marquese Chris?
I do. I think he's good. Like that. I don't know how he's good. Yeah. I don't know how good I think he is, but I think he is a good player. You like him?
Do you think he's like, he'd be able to like fit in a role next year?
I would rather he play than Looney right now. Like I like Looney, but like they play him a little too much for like, he should be in there just in games. They need a defender.
Because a lot of the problem with these guys is that they're matchup players, Sam, right? Like they're just,
yeah,
right? Like you said, Looney's got to play these games, then you bench him in other games. You know what I mean?
Like they're like bullpen pitchers. Like, oh, you want to throw him against a lefty, that type of thing, right?
That's all they got. And then Michael Mulder, you know, like Brad Wanamaker should never fucking play. Like it's just not enough.
I don't know what his matchup is.
There's no matchup. There's no fucking matchup. Like he could beat us probably. Like he's probably better than us, but that's about it. Like he could drop 50 in our rec leagues, but that's about it. They need some tough guys. I'm with you on that. Like they need some tough guys. There's a little like that's I think some of the problems with them drafting some of these players because Pilo talked about it in the beginning where James Wiseman's getting pushed around. He's 7'10". Like you're 7'10", and you
eight
know
8 feet tall.
8 feet tall, you should not be getting pushed around by Enes Kanter, a strong dude, but like again, he's young, but like there needs to be amount of like Draymond's got that toughness. Clay and Steph, same thing. You know what I mean? They got that toughness. And
yeah. They're tested.
Yeah. Yeah.
We need some more tested guys. Like obviously, like the reason why the first initial team was really good, there was obviously Andre Iguodala and like Sean Livingston. We need most Spates, you feel me? Like those like veteran guys, David West. Imagine if David West was hanging around James Wiseman right now.
Because I think one of the problems is that Draymond, while he's great at like teaching people stuff, you kind of need another side of that. You don't just need someone yelling at you at all times and telling you.
You need the good cop.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and not to say he's like a bad like cop or a bad person, but like you need a different side where it just feels like sometimes I don't even think Draymond's doing a bad part, but it's like, man, you just got someone yelling at you all the time. That shit will fuck you up. Wiseman looks like he's miserable out there right now. Like, that's really the worst part of all of this.
I see that though. I see a little bit of that. He's like, his shoulders drop a little bit when bad shit happens. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, it's, you know.
They're trying now. Like I think they realize it too. You see them always like trying to like pick him up a little bit. I don't know, maybe the break's good for him. I hope it is, because like he looks too in his own head for me.
I think he's see that. Like he drops his shoulders, he starts rolling his eyes and doing stuff like that. I'm like, all right, but I mean, obviously, it's like I think it's frustration is coming from a young player and like still trying to figure out how, you know, it is to be in the NBA.
I agree with you.
It's a completely different game.
Yeah, and I mean, he had no summer league. He's young, and it's like it's just kind of. I feel like every Warrior fan feels a certain way because we see LaMelo not having those issues. Like it's hard not to juxtapose the two. It's not fair to James Wiseman. It's just not fair to him, right? Like if he figures it out in a year's time, like none of this matters, but like it's human nature to see what, you know, the kid's doing in Charlotte and like then look at like what's going on here and not. So let's end on this topic. I want to ask you this. Give me your top three Steph Curry memories. Your favorite Steph Curry moments. And they could be on or off the court. It doesn't matter.
What would be off the court? What would be an off the court Steph memory?
I mean, just concert at the Fox. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, come on. That's in the top three for sure. Like actually meeting Steph was like a really top three moment. I remember one time I was on tour. And it might have been 2000. It was 2016, and I was in Denver, and it was the OKC game. It was the when he pulled from half, like Denver half court. So I think we're watching the game in the green room, like probably like right before we get on stage. So like, I think we were down like 8 or something or whatever at the time. It was like a few minutes left. And I was like, oh damn, or like a minute left or something like that. I was like, oh damn, it's damn near bad. We just closed the laptop. And then like we damn near like went upstage and then we performed. And I get back downstairs and like we open the shit and see if the stream is still going. Bro. And we watched the whole shit like when Steph just like got a rebound. And bro, I was like, oh my God, this is fucking insane. I remember that day like it was like I remember that sequence like it was like yesterday. That's like probably one of my favorite ones. Gotta be.
Everyone remembers where they were during that game. That's like my favorite Warrior fan thing. Like it doesn't even matter. It's a regular season game. Like I can ask Andy right now, what were you doing when Steph hit that shot? He knows.
Yeah. Like that shit's like cemented in my like memory. Like one of my favorite insane. There's a lot.
Good thing about Steph is that they're just there's like he has so many good moments both in the postseason and regular season. Like for
it's hard to pick which are the favorites.
Like right? the one that I'll never forget is Game 7 actually, because I think that one's underrated. OKC Western Conference Finals Game 7, where Steph just took on KD and Russ by himself, drops like 38 points, and like literally drives by KD like 10 times. At home.
Yeah, people forget how close that game was. Everyone's all like Klay in game 6. I'm like, obviously Klay was a monster. And like,
Steph was amazing in game 6, by the way.
Yeah, but
amazing.
It's like, none of that game 6 shit matters if they don't take it home in game 7, you know? Like
game 7.
Yeah, so it's like, I mean, everyone forgets that like, they were down in the third quarter and then Steph went nuclear on everyone. So.
And Steph was injured that whole like postseason run too, huh?
Yeah. He's banged up. He's gonna downplay it because you know it's kind of how he is.
But he had this like a sprained knee, didn't he?
Yep. He had a messed up MCO that took him out like a week, and he probably should have sat for longer.
And you could see it too. He wasn't able to shake dudes he normally shakes. It's like, I mean, that's the whole point of like a knee injury. Like you just lose a little quickness, and you know. That's the name of the game. They're all pros. Like split second. It's all that matters.
Yeah.
So
but he not coming out here wearing a cast. Yeah.
Oh wow. No, another one was that game in Portland when he came back like from that.
Well, I'm here, I'm back. Yeah.
Like that shit when Steph starts talking like that, I think he's a psychopath, bro. Like,
yes.
Like I think he's a complete psychopath.
That was that to this day, because if you look at the record between him and Portland, him and Dame, is 10-0 in the postseason is insane. That one where he comes back and he was terrible
nasty.
He was so
nasty.
Rusty. Yeah,
he was so rusty like in regulation.
10 straight shots. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. He just the playoff stuff like the year before the AD shot, right? He was fantastic.
Oh, wow. Damn, the AD shot. Oh, my God.
Like there's so many. Like, he got destroyed on that shot. Destroyed.
All these big moments for a dude who's supposedly not clutch. Like, yeah. Man, it's wild.
You got...
I tweet this all the time, but I really think Curry's the best point guard of all time.
Hey, no one's disagreeing with you here.
I truly think that.
You've come to the safe space.
I know. I was talking to it on Maple's podcast, and they were like, "Well, what are you like?" Bro, like,
yeah, fucking guy.
I'm like, bro, like, come on, bro, like, you mean to tell me you picking Magic? You picking Magic Johnson over Steph Curry if you had a pick a five? Like, bro, stop it, bro. Stop it. You're lying. You're lying if you mean to tell me you're gonna pick Magic Johnson over Steph Curry to be a starting point guard in a 5-on-5. Dream game.
Magic like a glorified Draymond, you know what I mean? Like a little better Draymond, you know what I mean?
Bro. He's less athletic than Simmons, bro. To be honest. He's a less athletic than Simmons, bro. Let's keep it 100. Let's keep it 100, bro.
Sam just said...
Steph is, like, he might be the most skilled NBA player of all time. Like, just the most skilled basketball player ever.
Pure skill. Skill.
Just to get to that level at his size. Yeah, like,
it's insane.
He's not that athletic either, like, relative to LeBron and, like, those dudes. So, yeah. I mean, he's crazy.
And Steph will literally have, like, he'll have some of the quietest, like, 30-point games. Like, you won't even, he'll be, like, 3-for-10 from the three, but he'll still have 30. And that's insane.
That's when you know you're great. Like, no one even says anything until he hits 40. Like, no one's impressed until they see, like, oh, man, you know, like, 32 points, whatever. You know, that's normal. Like, someone else scores 30. Like, Clay scores 32. We're celebrating it like it's a big deal, right? Like, you don't get – it just speaks to, like, the standards he holds himself to, or, like, we hold him to.
The standards he set himself.
Right, exactly. Yeah, like he's
playing with some scrubs on offense right now too. Like he playing with an offensive five that he can't get any open looks. Like, he went from playing with a five that he could get all the open looks with KD and Clay, and then you got two great passers in Draymond and Iguodala. Now he's playing next to, I mean, when you put Looney and Draymond at the four and five, oh my, damn! I know you like Draymond, but goddamn, man. God.
Yeah. I'm a Draymond stan, bro. So.
Gotta ride with it.
Make a few layups, you know? That's all we have.
Yeah, he definitely gotta make some layups. But, like, are you taking those missed layups, or are you taking him swinging it one more time?
The problem is that it's just the guy he's swinging it to. It's Andrew Wiggins. Or, you know, or someone like that. Yeah. No, I hear you. It's they need Clay back badly. That's the thing. They need Clay back, and they need some guys, some vets that can actually shoot the ball. Like, if they had Wes Matthews right now, like, think about that, right? Like, Wes Matthews, he was like, die. But, like, put him in the corner.
But if you put him in the corner, he can knock it down.
Yeah.
He's a pro.
Yeah.
He's a pro.
He'll hit an open shot. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like for next year, that's what they need, pros. They're like, especially in Steph and Clay's and Draymond's, like, peak, so-called peak, you know?
Right.
Like, we need more pros. We need some more PJ Tuckers, you know what I mean? We need those guys.
Hey, might be. Trade deadline, two weeks away.
Well, what they're talking about, like, Otto Porter and Oladipo or something like that?
Porter's a... You know, Otto Porter would be a perfect fit. I mean, he's fat, but he's a perfect fit.
He just got dropped 20 pounds. That's always a great starting point. Like, just dropped. he's kind of a vet, though. Do we count? Is Otto Porter officially a vet now?
I mean, he's one of those guys that definitely ski-masked his way into the contract. And now he just, I don't think he cares about
basketball. You got to respect it. You do.
Got to.
27. I think we'll count that as a vet.
Yeah, like, Otto Porter would be nice. Oladipo, I'm a fan of. Like, you know, maybe he just needs more time off. Maybe by the time next year comes around, he'd be someone that could run the bench unit offense, right, with Clay. Like, I think that's a good one. So, I don't know. It seems like the Warriors won't do any of those unless they're getting Giannis or Embiid. But, I don't know if they're willing to go all in. Actually, why don't we end with this? What do you think about Bradley Beal? Would you do Wiseman and Minnesota pick and a couple other stuff for Bradley Beal? Let's get out of here with that.
I would.
There you go.
I would. Because I feel like Wiseman's going to be really good. But I don't think he's like a skilled person that can handle the ball like an Embiid or a Giannis. So, like, if he's not that, then what is he? You know what I'm saying? Then he's just, like, almost – I'm not saying he's, like, replaceable. You know what I'm saying? Because it's too early to tell that. But, like, if he's just going to be a person catching lobs from Draymond, we can get fucking, I don't know, who else? We can fucking Obi Toppin. You know, Obi Toppin. You know?
The other thing I always think about is, like, how many years is it going to take James Wiseman to figure it out, you know? I don't think it's fair to him to, like, you know, put this pressure on him. Like, yo, Steph's 30, Steph's 32. Figure it out, man.
Yeah, exactly. That's because it's low-key not fair. It's low-key not fair to
him. Yeah. All right, man. We appreciate you so much. Thanks for coming on. You're always welcome on.